Well, let's open our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1. Four times in the Scriptures, Paul writes to us, this is a faithful saying. Three times he said this to Timothy. One time he said it to Titus. This is a faithful saying. That's going to be our text tonight. Our title, Faithful Sayings. And those four scriptures, that's going to be our divisions. That's what we'll look at. What is Paul getting at when he uses words like faithful saying? This is a faithful saying. He says, this is trustworthy. What I'm about to tell you, this is from God. This is His Word. It is sure. You can rely on this forever. You need to write this down. And you need to read it often. Take notice. That's what He's saying. And these four statements, these sayings that the Holy Spirit used Paul to write. And these four things that will greatly comfort a sinner in need. If my words happen to fall on the ears of a sinner in need, this will comfort you. These are four great sayings. And if you just believed a long time and you're real strong, strong in the faith, it's going to help you have a better understanding of what the fundamental nature of salvation is. Who saves? Who saved? And how we're saved. Then we're going to look at what a faithful saying that gives us security, that gives us comfort, that lets us know that we're preserved forever. Who preserved us? How we're preserved? And finally, you who believe and you who are yet to be believers. Lord's yet to call. And these faithful sayings, we're going to see the product of salvation. The fruit of salvation. That's what happens after a man or woman is saved by the Lord. And they're given hope and reassurance. What that produces. There's a product of that. There'll be some evidence. That cup's going to spill over and something's going to come out. There's proof. What I'm about to show you, these four sayings, they are trustworthy. These are from God. These are His Word. And these are four things worthy to be accepted by everyone. Young or old, rich or poor, weak or strong, it doesn't matter. These are worthy of acceptance. These sayings merit acceptance. Look here in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. This is the shoes, the feet shod we looked at this morning of the gospel of peace. This is the very foundation of salvation. This is where it all starts. This is where it all culminates too. Jesus Christ came into this world. The very one who thought it not robbery to be equal with God because He is God. The one that left His throne in glory. He descended to this sin-cursed earth on purpose to save sinners. Of whom? Out of all them sinners, I am chief. Who came? Christ the God-man, the Messiah, came. That's who came. That prophet that Moses wrote about. That priest that Melchizedek was a type of. And He is the King that David was picturing. He's the Lord of glory. He is the Christ. That same Jesus. That's who came. The angel told Joseph there in Matthew 1. He said, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. He shall save His people. This is the same one Isaiah wrote to us And said, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Angel told Joseph, said, that's God with us. Who came? Christ, God, the Savior of his people, the Lord, God with us. That's who came. What did he do when he came? He came into the world. The very world he created, he came to. And you know what? The world knew him not. This condensation is so easy to look at concerning those sinners, isn't it? He was here and they didn't even know him. I'd have known him. Would you? I thought I checked, I was a sinner too. I was born of this same dirt as everybody else is. He came to us and we didn't even know him. He came into this world where I live. He walked the dirt that I'm made from. And for 33 years, God dwelt among us. He perfectly walked among demons. He perfectly walked among hell-deserving sinners and Satan. And he walked perfectly in perfect holiness. Thought, word, and deed. Looking solely to his Father. Honoring his Father. Honoring the law perfectly. Why? Because those he came to save must be holy. They must be perfect. They must walk that way. That's why he came. That is how we're saved. Substitution. If you build the whole gospel of peace with God in Christ, free and sovereign grace, saving grace, amazing grace that we sang of. If we were to boil that down to two words, it would be substitution and satisfaction. Christ, the Almighty Godhead in a body, came to this world that he created, living as our substitute, was punished as our substitute, as us. He died as our substitute, as us. He's risen from the tomb for us, and us in him. Made one together because the Father was satisfied in all points forever. Because he was the substitute. He was the Lamb. The Father satisfied. Who was this for? Sinners. Not just people that's a little bit bad. Not just somebody that needs a little bit of help. Sinners. That's who he came for. This is a faithful saying, 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. God made me a preacher. I'm his ambassador to tell his word. Here's what I preach. If you are the chief of sinners, if you are enmity with God, not enmity at God, enmity with God, you're at war with him. You're his enemy. You're the worst offender against the holy God of heaven and earth. That's exactly who Christ came to save. That's good news. The Lord teaches you you're a sinner. Not that you kind of sinned or you're a little bit bad. I'm the chief. That's good news. That is witnessing. Well, I was telling someone about the gospel called witnessing sometimes. Because we witness. We are eyewitnesses. We saw something and we tell what we saw. It's not a fable. We don't add to it. We don't puff it up. But you can't tell about something you ain't never seen. Can't tell somebody about a God you've never known. Can't tell somebody about love you've never been loved with. We witness what we see. We're ambassadors. We just give the word of the one that sent us. I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the worst one that ever lived. And Christ came to this earth and was made sin for me so I would be made his righteousness. That propitiation, that bloody sacrifice was accepted by God the Father and I was plumb saved forevermore. You know what happened after that? I was born. I came on the scene after that. And then God the Holy Spirit came to me. And he told me about this. He announced it. He revealed Christ in me. Revealed the righteousness of God in the face of Christ. Revealed my sin. That's what I am. a noun. It's all of me, every fiber in me. Christ is all righteousness, and that everything required in judgment is complete. It's finished. Nothing's left other than me to praise my Savior and to tell people about the man who saved me. There was an old quote. It said, the tribe of Christ is the only tribe where every member is a chief. They're all chiefs of sinners. It's the only members. You know that guy that went to the temple? There's two of them, didn't they? One of them went up and said, Lord, he looked up, didn't he? And he prayed to himself. Didn't he? Where was that other man that was accepted of God looking?
Down
at the ground. Was he looking next to him? He said, boy, look at that publican. Where did he hit? Right where the problem was. That's the chief of sinners. That's who God came to save. When Christ sat down to eat lunch one day, I'll tell you, every one of us would have a problem with this. I've spoke about this a little bit in private. Every one of us would have a problem if God started saving some real sinners in this place of what's told about in this book. We'd cringe. If we saw what we was on the inside, we'd cringe too, if he truly showed us. Christ sat down to eat lunch one day, and he did sit down with some dirty people. He sat down with some uncomely folks. There were some publicans there. There were sinners there. Prostitutes were there. Fishermen. Oh, they smelled, had hooks, scars all over them, tattoos. Crippled folks were there. Blind folks, sick folks were there. Lepers were there. Lepers. That's contagious. Uh-oh. Those self-righteous, prideful men, they looked on and they said, who do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Who are you to eat with them people? And he turned around and he said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, you, self-righteous. I came to call sinners to repentance. Sinners. Inside and outside sinners. Seen and unseen sinners. That's who he came to save. Preaching is one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. Where is there living bread for sinners? Where is there life for sinners? It's in Christ. He came to this earth and he died for sinners. The very chief of them. The worst ones out there. William Jay and John Newton. Both faithful men of God back in the late 1700s. John Newton wrote Amazing Grace. We all know him. Fewer people know William Jay. I wonder in Spurgeon's church, to listen to Spurgeon if I went back and read William Jay. But William Jay went to John Newton one day and he said, brother, he said, there's this man down the road, Mr. So-and-so. And he, that guy's bad. And you know what? I was preaching and the Lord worked in his heart and the Lord saved him. And after I saw that man be saved, I knew that God would save anybody. John Newton looked at him and he said, you know what, Brother Jay? He said, after God saved me, I realized God could save anybody. Are you the chief?
Yes.
You the worst sinner? Then to you. If that's you, if that ain't you, I ain't talking to you. I ain't got nothing for you. Go on out. See how it works out for you. But to you, if you're the chief of sinners, got a word for you. You can carry this around your pocket all week. This here will give you something to chew. It's like a baby. You don't tell a young child, children of God, eat more. Take bigger bites. Take small bites. Chew your mouth closed. Don't talk with your mouth open. With food in your mouth. Here's something you can take. You chiefs of sinners and put it in your pocket and carry it around with you to last you all week. Verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners of whom I'm chief. That's faithful. That's a good saying. We ought to dwell on these things. Soak it in. Like a piece of hard candy. Wall it around your mouth for a while. Take your time with it. Enjoy it. That's good news. All right, what's the next one? What if sinners contribute to this work of salvation? Turn over a couple pages to 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Is the Lord writing to us through Paul to tell us not to do push-ups and not to exercise and not to run, not to break a sweat? That's not what he's telling us. Okay? But to obey the law. Not to do those things, but you obey the law. You do good works. That's not what he's telling us. He's telling us that all that physical exercise of religion, outward religion, profits nothing. Profits very little. All the doing. That's what he's talking about. What's the context of this? Look up in verse 1. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, that's when we're living, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil. The helmet ain't on. Their ears are exposed. They start listening to everything. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. What's scary? What's going to be the product of that? Two things. Watch it. Verse 3. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. In the body, what's that mean? Before you get married, you got to go through my program. You young folks, there's some counseling sessions got to take place before you can get married. You got to stay away from some meats. Child of God can't eat a BLT. That ain't what it is. Forbidding people spiritually to come to God. Forbidding them the meat that He's allowed. Or anything else. You got to be circumcised. You can't eat this. You got to eat that. You have to wash your hands before you can be a child of God. You can't wear certain clothes and be a child of God. Observing days. Children of God don't go to Halloween. What about all these restrictions? What about all these meats that these heretics put on God's people? Read on. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believeth and knoweth the truth. You that have been taught of God, not taught of a man, and not taught of yourselves. If God's taught you something, you know better. You know better. This exercise does not give you salvation. It doesn't give you sanctification. It doesn't give you repentance. It doesn't give you anything. You eat whatever you want as long as it's received in our body with thanksgiving, knowing that your Lord provided it. Even if that meat is sold from a false temple. God's got to teach us that too, isn't he? Since some people ain't learned it, the Lord's got to teach it. Verse 4. For every creature of God is good and nothing is to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it's sanctified by the word of God and prayer. I'm going to shock some folks, and they ought to be shocked. Lord, thank you for Christmas. There's one day a year that most people have to acknowledge. It's in everybody's face that Christ came to this earth. What's something? Even if they don't know what it means, they have to acknowledge it. And I'm going to take that day, and I'm going to receive that day, and I'm going to thank my God for that day. And some say, well, other people abuse it. They didn't abuse it in my house. It don't bother me. Not. It don't affect me, does it? If I was looking down, if I was beating his chest, not somebody else's, it don't bother me none. I'm thanking my God for it. I'm going to thank my God for that day. What ought we to do? Out of a debt of love, what's profitable? Those things aren't. What's profitable in godliness? What is that? Witnessing the truth of Christ and man. Telling God's word, proclaiming it. Avoiding fleshly religion of our vain minds and looking to our Redeemer. Look to Christ. That's good. That's godliness. Did you know that? Look at verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, you're a sinner, but Christ came to save sinners. That's putting the brethren in remembrance. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. How did you get where you're at? God came and gently and loving kindness, tenderly nourished you and brought you up, didn't he? Boy, it's easy with you. What did he say to Peter? Peter, do you love me? Or do you know I love you? Whip my sheep. Well, no, that ain't what he said, was it? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. What did he say after that? Feed my giraffes. Feed my big old rams. Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. The smallest, most tender lamb I got. Go give it tender grass. Verse 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. You want to do something to serve God, our Lord that saved us? I want to do something to serve God. Then do it. Here's your chance. Here's your chance to serve Him. How can sinners born of this earth, saved by grace, how can we serve Him? We remind our brethren of Christ. We love one another. You that want to serve God, be long-suffering. Be kind. Be gentle. Be meek. Make ourselves a servant and not ourselves a head honcho. Minister, put on our helmet. Let this mind be in you. Be humble. I want to serve God. Humble yourself. Verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Put away all religion. Superstition means overly religious. Put away superstition and believe Christ and love the brethren. In the life now and in the life to come. Don't put on a show for men. Don't put on a show for God. God looks on the heart, doesn't He? Outside, man, that really looks like a child of God. You don't know the heart. Outside, that sure don't look like a child of God. You don't know the heart. Remember that act of faith that Rahab had? Every time I read that Christ went up into the mountain. Isn't that what He did? He went and preached to folks. He'd minister to them, feed them, and He'd go up into a mountain to pray. Why do you think He went up into the mountain to pray? Couldn't stand being around religious folks. That drives me nuts. I can't stand it. And He was holy. If it bothers me, imagine how much it bothers Him. People going on and on about their faith, what they know, the scriptures they remember. I know my own experiences. People tell me everything they know. How much more so my Master. God help us to come into His presence and into His people with two ears and one mouth. Let us look to learn something and to serve and not to instruct and be submitted to. Those that declared to God, they said, look at all of our wonderful works. He said it there in Matthew 20 and Matthew 7. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What is it to do the will of the Father that's in heaven? Is that keeping everyone in check under the law? Better not be eating that. You know what day it is? Keep them lined out. Is that saying what's going to come to pass and then it coming to pass? Well, if you keep down that road, you know what's going to happen? Is it casting out devils? That'd be impressive to us, wouldn't it? Healing sick folks. Lord said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Lord, have we done all these wonderful things in your name? Then while I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. They came to Him declaring what they did. Didn't they? Later on in Matthew, down in chapter 25, God speaks to His children first. And He says, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me meat. He goes on. And they said, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry? When did we ever see you in prison and come visit you? When did we ever see you sick? He said, you done it to the least of one of these. That little tiny defenseless, helpless lamb, you did it to me. Good or bad. What power? You did perfect. Perfect. Why? Because my substitute did perfect. What did the Lord tell us to do there in verse 6? Doing the will of God. 1 Timothy 4:6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the word of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. That's a great attitude change. That's a huge difference, isn't it? From the first part of that chapter of keep the law, do those first three verses, to I'm a sinner saved by grace. Look to our Lord. Here's what the Lord did with me. I used to do the same thing you did. I've lived through the same thing. And you know what the Lord did? X, Y, and Z. Here's how He kept me. Here's how He taught me. Gently. Reasoning together. At first saying, says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. If you're a sinner, that is worthy of us bowing to fully. He is faithful. He saved His people. And here it says, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. I didn't save myself. I didn't perform an exercise to be saved, to be made more holy, or to stay that way. Christ did it. And believe in God. Loving Him. Loving our brethren as Christ loved us. Serving them as He served us. Laying down our lives for our brethren as He laid down His life for us. That's worthy of everyone in the world accepting it. That's profitable. That's profitable. Is all this going to last forever? Are we really going to be preserved forever? This is too good to be true, isn't it? Is it? Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy 2, verse 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. If we died with Christ, we will live with Christ. In this physical body, in this world we walk in, we call the end death. When this body dies, we say, well, that's the end. In the spiritual world, death of this body, that's the beginning. That's when you start living for the child of God. That's when it begins. When Christ came to this earth and lived, and we lived in Him. And He died, and we died in Him. And now we live because He lives on His throne. He's seated at the right hand of God. And we are made one with Him. It says there, if we suffer with Him. What's that? What is it to suffer for Christ? That's to be counted with Christ. Not some Jesus, some other Jesus. Not the God of people's imaginations. That's to be counted with the Christ. Bearing the reproach of Christ in our hearts against that old man that's in us. Those arrows we looked at this morning. Flying from ourselves to ourselves. And that's in our families. That's when the Lord said, you depart from mother and father. If you don't forsake your wife and your children and everything. Well, He honor your mother and father. I give my life for that woman over there. I give my life for these children. What was He talking about? They're under another gospel. Is that taking sides with Christ? Well, Christ saved me under grace, but He saved Aunt Susie under works. She's still His, but He saved her a different way. That's not suffering with Christ. That's appeasing yourself. That's putting a big old pacifier in a sore spot. And the reproach of our friends and co-workers. It's our family, our friends, those that we're working with every day. To suffer. To be counted with Christ. To be fellows in the same ship with Christ. You know, same boat as Him. He told us, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you, they hated me before they hated you. The servant ain't going to be above his master, is it? If we deny Him, He will deny us. But verse 13. If we believe not, He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. What does this faithful saying mean? This is precious. You take this, you put it in your pocket, and you walk around all day. You start having a rough day, go read this. This is precious. There are times we don't believe. We have unbelief. I believe, Lord, help thou my unbelief. I'm more unbelief than I am belief most of the time. See, the more I'm in a valley, the more I'm on a mountaintop. We get frail. We get weak in faith sometimes. And sometimes we even ask, Lord, do I even believe at all? Am I even your child? When our faith is as small as it can get, when it gets to the lowest point, it's almost gone, Christ abides faithful. His faith does not and will not fail. He will never deny Himself. Who's that? Us. We're made one with Him. His bride. We're put in Him. He can't deny Himself. He'll be faithful for us. Turn over to Titus 3 and I'll wrap this up. Titus 3. Titus 3, verse 8. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed, not they that's going to get ready to believe and this is what you got to do, but they that have believed, those that the Lord's did a work in, they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Here's the fruit of faith. This is the fruit. The root is believing on Christ. That's the root. The fruit of faith is walking in His footsteps. Our walk in this world. You who believe, you that are saved by the blood of Christ, you be careful not to bring reproach on the gospel of grace. You be careful not to bring reproach on those that are redeemed by the blood of God. It's not profitable, not just to the brethren, but to all men, to bring reproach. What is profitable? Not to bring reproach. To walk in this world as people that believe God. That helps all society. Your neighbors won't mind living next to you. They'll be all right with it. Lord, love me, that way I can love. Lord, give me joy so I can be a joy to others. Give me peace so that I can calm another. Be long-suffering with me so I'm shown how to suffer long. Show me how to suffer a long time with my brethren. Show me how long-suffering you've been with me. And be gentle to me so I know gentleness. These are faithful sayings. Paul gave us four of them. Christ came to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. I didn't do anything to merit it. It's all of grace. I died to sin, death, and hell in Him. And I live in Him now. And when I'm weak in the faith, when those first three, when I forget them, I breathe in, I breathe out, they're gone. I'm worried about something else. I go out the door, oh, what am I going to do? Start looking at everything around me instead of myself and my Lord. When I'm weak in the faith, when I would perish, He's faithful. He's faithful. I hope that's a blessing to you.